Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm back with my favorite comedian in the world, Greg Romero Wilson. I think you are, for real.
Like, you're my favorite.
You're one of the few people that I mention your name and I like smile. So I was in
well,
your.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Truth, man. You missed it. So last week, I tried doing like a third podcast because I was in my hotel and I didn't know if you're going to do any podcasts this week. So I wanted to load them up and because of Thanksgiving.
So you're smart, man. Listen, you do things I would never do.
So I had Nate the Train on, and
nice.
Well, no, it wasn't that nice because he didn't know how to put his sound on the Zoom, so I could see him, but I couldn't. So I just ended up interviewing myself. I ended up like talking as if I was Nate the Train, and he was like, was just going yes or no. So if you want to laugh. And also, yeah, that's on the last. People, the comments were like, this is a great interview. This is why I come like, amazing content. Like,
it's probably one of your best. They're probably yeah. Like, oh, one of your best interviews ever.
So, anyway, I was in El Paso, by the way, which is.
I saw that. My one of my hometowns.
Yeah. I know. I love El Paso. I love that club. You know,
and they've redone it a little bit, right? Like in terms of the green room and stuff like that. I mean, I heard they'd given it a bit of an upgrade. So I'm doing New Year's Eve there. I'll be there for New Year's Eve. And so I've heard they've done some good things.
It's great. And like, it's one of those clubs where the crowd like comes to laugh. Like people are there.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, people don't think, you know, oh, El Paso. But honestly, it's one of the longest running clubs in America. And it's all consistently the audience are there to have fun.
Yeah.
They're great audience. I always have tremendous shows there. And I've obviously got a good audience there because I, you know, graduated high school there and I played there a million times. And I love the owner and the Reed family. I love them. They're very, they're good people.
100%. But when I was single, it was, I used to go there and it was a lot more fun. Not like I get a lot more work done now that I'm married. Like I'm more productive.
I gotta tell you, that's true for everyone in all of life. You get married, I'm writing a bit about that. My fantasy football joke, you know, because all of a sudden you're like, well, I'm not gonna chase puss. We're gonna do a little work on my shit, you know, like
100%. Like I look at it, I'm like, I've written so many jokes since I've been married, and I'm like, a lot of that is because I'm not on Tinder, fucking swiping all day long.
Exactly, you're not exactly. You have all this brain power available to do other stuff. All of a sudden,
I would set my locations for where I was gonna be. So if I was gonna be in El Paso next week, I would start swiping a week early. Or two.
That's just smart. Listen, and can I tell you something? That is my greatest regret. Is it regret? I just, one of the things that drives me crazy about life is that I was single for so long. And then that fucking device finally does, which is what the one thing I wanted to do, which was find me puss. And I was already, you know, with my engaged and, you know, down that road. So I never got to try any of that. I dropped out at Craigslist. Well, that was the level that I
yes, but also, but the thing is about Tinder and Bumble, you're a lot more like expendable, basically. Like the people are just like, oh, next. And it's more about matching for a lot of people than actually going on the date. It's just it becomes a fucking video game and people are trying to score a match. So it's a huge time suck a lot of times. Greg, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, there was one time though, I went to a strip club in El Paso. And this was like the worst strip club. It was like you like brought your own chairs, kind of a thing. Like there was no. And this girl came up to me, this like cute Mexican girl, and she's like, "Hey, I'll have sex with you for $200 in your car." And I was like, "How about 40?" She's like, "Fine." And then I was like, "No, I can't. I've never paid for sex before." So I'm like, "Okay." So what I did was, I'm like, how about you come to the comedy club?
So basically now that you're married, you're like, where is she now? Now I'm ready to pay for it.
So I'm like, come to the comedy club and we'll hang out, you know? So I hung out with her all week. Like, she became my friend. And she quit stripping and the whole thing. But it cost me like $400.
Well, you know, usually you have a kid that slows it down.
But it cost me like $500 in like dates. Like, I was like... I would have been anyway, but she was a cool chick. But that was a fun El Paso thing. Meanwhile, my wife, fucking talk about money. So I'm trying to say, you know, at this house, my wife gets these shoes, right? She's like, hey, I got a new pair of shoes, $400, right? And I'm like, okay, $400, you know, like that's a lot of money for shoes. But if you're gonna wear them, you know, I've never.
But it should be said though that she has her own career and she makes her own money and is highly contributive on that level.
Does very well, right? But I'm like, still, like, you know, I've never spent more than $100 on shoes, $400. She's like, oh, so anyway, she gets them, and I'm like, they look worn. She's like, oh, that's how they come, pre-worn. I'm like, you spent $400 for someone else to wear your shoes? She's like, no, they scuff them up in Italy. It's handmade Italy, and then they make it. I'm like, you got your fucking, like.
You paid $400 for used immigrant shoes is what you're paying.
I was like, you gotta be kidding me,
they're
right?
Going down to the homeless shelter, taking the shoes, selling them to Americans.
I know, I can't stop looking at them now. They're just sitting there, and I'm like, so she's like, you're such a what did she call me?
Jew.
Such a boomer. No, a boomer. Jew. Right. So then I'm on the road. Right. I'm on the road. And she goes, hey, I'm gonna get a car, right? I'm gonna get a car. I'm like, okay, yeah, get a car. She's like, you know, do you care if I get a Porsche? I'm like, you gotta get a Porsche, but you know, I figure whatever, you know, get a car that you want. You work hard, blah blah blah. You work your ass off every day. You're up at 7, you know. So then I'm like, hey, so the car I'm gonna get a Mercedes SUV because you know she's selling her car and it's safer and it's. For $45,000, right? So I've never said that. I'm like, okay, it's a lot of money, but blah, blah, blah. So then I call her back. I'm like, how much are the car payments? She's like, $700 a month. I go, what?
Oh, my God.
I go, she's like, what? I go, you said it was okay. I go, I didn't say that. The payments are what I cared about. I thought you were going to make like $300, you know, for the next $700. I go, she's like, but it comes with everything. I'm like, does it come with a shower? Because we're going to fucking live in it, you know? And then she's like, what should I put down? I'm like, me. Put me fucking down.
Yeah, exactly.
anyway, yeah. Because I figured it was just going to be like $300 a month. I mean, it's still a lot of money, but like over like, you know, 100 years or something.
Well, $300 a month is obviously not reasonable for a luxury vehicle. I mean, $500 a month is expected, but $700 a month, you're really, you're really grinding my gears.
I don't even want to go in the car now. I don't even want to drive the car, dude. So I get in the car. The car is.
She got the car. She got the car.
She got the car. The car is amazing. I gotta say, I'm driving the car, right?
No, so you said it's a Porsche?
No. A Mercedes SUV, right?
Oh, Mercedes. Oh.
So there's like a keypad. Like you could like next to it, like a mouse pad, right? Then there's all these buttons, right? I go, what's this button for? She's like, oh, it massages you, like while you drive. I'm like, really? Like does it come with a happy ending too? Like a fucking a massage? like this is what a fucking massage?
I would expect that from a Toyota, not a Mercedes, but.
Hey, welcome to the show, Sean Ricardo.
My wife.
Thank you for showing up. I had to make a Jewish joke because you weren't here.
Oh, okay.
So, and it's important to note, Adam is Jewish.
Yeah, my wife basically bought shoes, right? $400 pairs on shoes, that, you know. But then I'm like, they look like they've been worn. She's like, oh yeah, they come pre-worn. That's like the look. It's supposed to look like they're scuffed up.
For $400 shoes.
Yeah, I'm like.
From Italy.
I'm like, how much did the guy who before you pay for him? $1,000? He wore him. Then I'm on the road and she's like, I'm going to get a new car. I was like, okay. She goes, how much, what do you want to put down? I said, I don't know, $1,000. She's like, we put $5 down. I'm like, fine. She said, I'm getting a Mercedes, blah, blah, blah. So the whole day goes by. She's like, I bought the car. I go, how much were the payments? She didn't call me for the payments, right? That was the most important part. She said $700 a month. I go, what? Are you kidding me? So that's where we're at right now. I've never. Anyway, how are you, Sean?
I'm doing all right. I drive a really nice Escalade. My payments are only $530, so your car must be really nice.
No, it is really
nice. Well, it's, you know, you got to pay that import tax.
By the way, Sean, you are so funny. So you go to Florida with your girl, and you drive to Florida from Indiana because you refuse to wear a mask on the plane.
Correct. Yep. And the ticket was only $80. Like, we could have both flown for $80 round trip, but I was like, nope, I'm not wearing a mask.
Does your girl want to kill you for this?
No, she's actually, she kind of goes along with the program. She trusts my judgment, but no, she's kind of anti-mask too, man. It's not, I'm not anti-mask. I'm anti being told I have to wear one. Like, it's saving me the vaccine.
But you'd rather drive, what was it, 20 hours?
No, for my house, it's only about 10 and a half or so.
That's not bad. But still, I mean,
my house to the airport's an hour and 15 minutes. So I would have an hour and 15 there. And then you got to wait at the airport an hour and a half. So I've already been, by the time I got there and flew down, I'd be in 6 hours anyway. So, you know.
Yeah. Crazy. So let's talk about some of the stuff going on right now. Ben Askren and Nate Diaz are fighting on Twitter. Basically, Jake Paul said that it kind of went down like this. So, like, Jake Paul said something where he's like, you know, he was talking shit to so actually, there was an article saying that Ben Askren said that Jake Paul is a good boxer. And then Nate Diaz goes, yeah, but, you know, Ben Askren sucks. He's a wrestler who can't fight. So there goes that, right? And then Jake Paul goes, you have three times as many losses to him. There goes that. And then Ben Askren chimes in. He goes, well, you can't fight either. And now Ben Askren's like, I will go back into USADA and I'll fight Nate Diaz, like, tomorrow if they let me. So now it looks like it might be Nate Diaz versus Ben Askren. I don't think that Dana White's going to sign off on this, only because he got knocked out in one minute by Jake Paul. So if Ben Askren comes back and loses, then all of a sudden, or if it's like he wins, it gives Jake Paul credit. If like he loses, it's like, well, we just paid Ben Askren. And Dana hates Jake Paul to the point so much where it's like he's probably like, fuck this. But who do you think actually wins that fight, Ben Askren or Nate Diaz?
First of all, I would just like to go on record as saying this is the only MMA podcast willing to cover the biggest fights on Twitter. The fuck are we talking about? I mean, actually, I get it. You did lead up to a point that is relevant to discuss on the show. But at first, I'm like, the fuck? Who cares? But if we are talking about Ben, I mean, come on. I think, now, first of all, I don't think Dana has any reason not to sanction it because there's money. And who fucking cares so long as he makes money? And also, once Nate Diaz knocks him out in 2.5 minutes, it's only going to validate the fact that he's a terrible boxer and shouldn't have been in the fucking ring with what's-his-name anyway.
But Ben might win. I mean, it's
wrestling. No, he's not going to. I mean, if he decides to wrestle him, yes. But that isn't going to prove anything about his boxing. It's going to prove that, he should have never gotten in a boxing ring.
But he goes, I mean, that's what Ben says. I suck as a boxer. You're right. But you suck as a fighter. But we need to know, Sean, who is this fight?
I would say 5 years ago, Ben Askren pretty easily. The Ben Askren that fought, what's his name? The real good jiu-jitsu guy. The last fight Ben Askren had.
Damian Maia.
The one that fought Damian Maia would probably lose to Nate Diaz. I've heard repeatedly from different sources that Nate Diaz only has one fight left on his UFC contract, and he's trying to go out on a win because he's going to box Jake Paul like they've already got set up, and he's going to make millions to do that. I don't think Dana wants him to go out on a win because I think he wants to be able to say, this is a guy that could win fights in the UFC, you know, like with Nate leaving or whatever, you know. It's crazy that Nate can make more money boxing a YouTuber than he can in the UFC with as big a following as he has. But I think that's what Conor McGregor's doing, too. I think McGregor's only got two fights left, and I think he's trying to parlay it into a Jake Paul 4 million pay-per-view buy thing, a boxing match. It's crazy, man. It's insanity. The UFC really – I mean, I don't blame the UFC. I used to have a business, too, and I paid Mexicans $60 a day to unload trailers because that was the going rate. Didn't matter if they were Mexican, but that was the going rate at the time. That's what guys were willing to work for. So I can't blame the UFC for paying as little as possible when guys will accept it and fight for practically free. But it's a shame, you know, like most pro sports are 50-50 or maybe even a little more to the players, and everything I've read is 12 to 15% of UFC revenue goes to the fighters, and probably half of that to Conor McGregor. So,
all right. Well, a lot to uncover there.
I was going to say, hilarious.
I mean,
I was trying to work in shop somehow, and I had nothing.
I was going to say, but it's an incredibly cogent point, yeah. And you're incredibly right. And the only solution is for people to stop paying to see Jake Paul bullshit.
Well, Jake Paul,
that's the only solution. Well, so long as he can do that and give these guys $4 million for one fight, we're going to continue to see this.
Well, he's got to be Tommy Fury, because Tommy Fury's an actual boxer. I don't know if he's any good. It's basically Tyson Fury's little brother, but he's an undefeated fighter who looks the part. So he's got to beat Tommy Fury first. Dana White, they've actually they're willing to like train Tommy Fury. They're giving him they're setting it up so he could train at the UFC thing for free. All right. In other fight news, this week, your friend.
Wait, is this a Twitter thing again? Or are we actually? This is real fights. Okay.
This is real fights. So, Triller, okay?
just said. We these go from were Twitter real to fights.
No, but this is actually. Oh my God. So, Triller Fight Club has an event this Saturday where they're fighting in a Trigon.
Well, you let them know Dustin Diamond is no longer with us, so he is not available.
Which, by the way, I guess Dada 5000 came up. Him and his company came up with the idea for the Trigon, and I guess Triller stole it. I mean, as Angela Hill says, let Trigons be Trigons. But they're fighting in a Trigon, and this week Frank Mir is fighting Khabrat Pulev, who is actually a real fighter who's like fought. He fought against Klitschko. He fought Anthony Joshua. He lost, but he had some semblance of a Eastern European title or a European belt.
Thank you for the clarification that he is in fact a real fighter. If he were fighting like a 3D rendering, I wouldn't be surprised.
He's a legit probably boxer. Sell great. He's a legit boxer. Okay. Matt Mitrione is fighting in this.
Wait, he is?
Yes.
He told me he was done 2 weeks ago. He'll never fight again.
No, he's fighting in Triller this Saturday.
I think he meant after this fight. I think I must admit it.
He's fighting Alexander Flores, and then Mike Perry is also fighting in this. And also Metallica is playing in this as well. They're having a concert. I don't know if it's dirty.
Because if anything's been proven over time is that concerts on pay-per-view are awesome. It's way better than being there in person.
I don't know if Metallica is playing while they're fighting or before or after.
Listen, somebody's dumping a lot. Triller's taking all that Jake Paul money and putting it right in Metallica's pocket. I'll tell you that.
So the fighting,
you finally got to one thing that made me want to watch.
The most surprising thing about that whole story is that Dada 5000 has a company.
So somebody else's name, but he's involved. So they're fighting in a triangle, right?
Right.
And I guess it's boxing rules, but you can clinch, and then you could do spinning back fists. So
naturally, anytime you're in a triangle, you got to allow spinning back fists.
They should call it a triad instead of a trigon.
Oh, it is called triad combat. You're right. Triad combat.
Well, that makes sense.
Triad combat this week. I'm excited about this. Frank Mir versus Pulev, 1 week out. Metallica is playing songs through the night. Then once the fights are over, they play 75 minutes straight. Okay, that's what's going on. Are we excited about this?
I look very much forward to streaming it illegally, yes.
I would like to apologize to our fans who have listened to 22 minutes of bullshit.
Well, hold on, Greg. Don't get too down yet. We go from Twitter to Triad to the Island Boys next. So what's that?
Okay, so we still – and listen, there's 8 more minutes of garbage, but then we're going to talk some real fighting.
Okay, by the way, the Island Boy says that he sold his soul to the devil a week before that song popped. So people are very concerned about that.
All right, more proof the devil buys souls at a hefty price.
Proof that when he went down to Georgia, he decided to just hang around in Florida.
So John Jones announced that he's 60 days sober, but he got arrested 58 days ago. So it doesn't really make sense.
So he's a sober domestic abuser. He just don't want anybody to get that mixed up. It's not when he drinks that he beats his
wife. Listen, let me tell you something. Those first 3 days are rough. you want to kill everybody during those. That was her fault for being there. They should have locked him in a basement with a bucket and some food and a TV and just been like, you're on your own.
Well, people were saying that he didn't say 60 days in a row. He could have
just 50 days total sober.
Exactly. If you count when I was a child, then 66 days.
All right. So did you guys watch the fights over the weekend?
Some.
All right. Misha
Tate. I didn't even know there were fights.
Amazing. Misha Tate lost to Vieira, Caitlin Vieira. I thought she won two rounds. It was a good fight. She actually looked better in her striking, to be honest. Vieira was just that much better. But Misha did do that one thing where, you know, checking the oil.
There was a classic mid-fight finger bang. And even when she released it, she went right back for more.
She did use the butt in the – it was crazy.
She was deep.
That's something I think they should add to the triad rules for the spinning back fist.
Yeah. Mid-fight finger bang.
Like spinning back fist, also the oil trip.
So Misha lost, but I thought she looked good. I thought she looked fine. I didn't think she looked bad. I think you were right, Greg, about
– Except at the end of the fight.
Her face got fucked up. Her face.
Yeah. Well, and I think that ultimately cost her the fight. You easily could have given her two of the first three or four rounds, you know, but then that fifth round, I mean, when you look like that and she looks like she just got up from a nap, you know, I mean, you can't give her the round. You can't give her the fight. I mean, because she got busted up at the end.
It was funny, though, because at the end, Vieira said she wanted to train with her for, like, the next 10 days. And they're like, well, obviously she had her thumb up her ass.
She wants to train with her for the next 18 hours.
By the way, it is Don Fry's birthday today. Happy birthday, Don Fry.
Happy birthday to the legend! Yeah!
Don's not with us, but we do have Greg Fry. How are you celebrating your birthday?
Oh, man, what a day. Good day to me, one of the Fries. I'll tell you, good day. I woke up, and I had run over an armadillo. And I've been saving it for a big occasion. I wasn't going to ride a cage on the armadillo. So I put that thing in the broiler last night and bought it. Had a good old Don Fry armadillo sandwich.
Wow. That sounds very manly. And then tonight, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm going to sleep with the bones of the dead armadillo. That's the plan.
Oh, God.
It's a doubleheader. It's a double thing. We waste nothing out here on the Prairie Ranch.
Wow. Well, good for you, Don. Happy birthday, man. And I hope you live another, I don't know how old you are, but I hope you live another 60.
Enjoy that car your wife bought for me. That's great.
I'm afraid it's such a nice car. I'm afraid to go in it. I'm a terrible driver. Like, I got a letter saying I'm one of California's worst drivers. That's all it said. It didn't even.
Who's it from? Is it even from?
Yeah,
no. Is it someone that tracked you down? I was like, I just want you to know, you're one of California. Or is it from the DMV?
No, from the DMV.
Oh my god!
We want to let you know you're one of California's worst drivers. If you keep it up, you're gonna lose your license. But it wasn't even like that's all it said. That was it. It just said,
dude, they're probably worried about the car too.
Dude, the worst accident I ever
got. They saw the title registration. They're like, oh, God.
Dude, well, the worst accident I ever got was one time it was like Labor Day, and there was like 30 people ready to make a left, right? And I'm just like, I was in a rush. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to pass everyone on the right, which was a shitty fucking an asshole move, right?
Right.
But I was like, all right. So I passed like six cars. I made a wide left, and then a car just, boom, hit me. I was like, fuck. And it was completely my fault. Like, it was an asshole move that I did. And the six people ready to the returning were all gay people on the way to a party or something, like a gay picnic. And they all came out and they're like, accident, I'm a witness. And they'll start running around saying they're witnesses, right? So I'm sitting there like, I'm on the side of the road like this, like, fucking, you gotta be. And I mean, luckily people were okay that I hit me. I made sure they were okay. But
and that was the day Adam Hunter gave six blowjobs. to avoid an increase in his monthly premium.
Dude, one by one, they cursed me out. Well, guy comes and he goes, hey, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. The guy goes, well, you look like shit. And then he fucking snapped. And I'm like,
yeah. What did Bruce Buffer say to you?
Oh, boy. There it is.
Dude, yeah, that was like the worst fucking. That was.
You know, I hate to jump on the bandwagon here, especially one that McCorkle's driving, but. I had to think of you, McCorkle, because you know how Buffer every time has to come up behind the ref to hold the mic in front of his face when he announces. And I'm like, you got to know that's his favorite part of the whole
time. Dude, I swear, this is the honest truth. I may have told you that before.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
I'm fighting Stefan Struve, co-main event, UFC 124, and so I'm on TV for the pre-fight for the first time. My first fight in the UFC, they just played it on Spike, so you didn't see the entrances or anything, just basically go, you know?
Spike, that's so right.
Somebody had told me about Bruce Buffer shortly before that fight, like a few days before. I don't want to say who it was, but they had told me that Bruce Buffer was a fancy boy. I don't know. So anyway, I don't know if it's true or not, but as I'm out there, I see him jumping around with that big black mic in his hand, like doing this or that, and I start laughing right before I'm ready to fight Struve. I'm so nervous, I can't even, like, stand it. But that cracked me up, like what you're saying, like seeing him handle that, his ease with handling the big black microphone. That was all I could think about right before I fought Struve. And there's a – I don't know if it's on the regular DVD or what, but if they're on somewhere you can see either fight, whatever it is, their little online service or what, but you can see me look at Bruce Buffer. Yeah, you can see me smile at Bruce Buffer as he's announcing me or whatever. Like I'm all nervous walking back and forth, and I like a little bit of a smile as he does that because that's what I was thinking. It's weird the things you remember during a fight, but –
Dude, so, dude, there's a TikTok video, right, of this guy who's a gay guy that has, like, you know, makeup all over and, like, glitter. And he's like – and he starts off the video. He goes, okay, parents, leave the room. I want to talk to the children, right? And you know how – and then how people, like, can make, like, those other – like, they just you know.
Yeah, yeah. They make the side-by-side videos and whatever.
So,
yeah.
So right when that happens, people go – no, you're not talking to my fucking kids. like the angriest. Nope, not gonna happen. You're not like
especially leave the room. No, okay, no. That's inappropriate for anybody to say.
It's like it's one angry guy after the next going, nope, not gonna fucking happen. Like the super like you know like black like Christian like nope. Yeah, you don't tell my kids to leave the fucking room. Like,
no shit, dude. That is that boy. That's not a good start. Kids, leave the parents. I want you to leave the room. I want to make sure your kids can keep a secret.
You remember when Soupy Sales got fired? Well, not obviously. You guys weren't alive then. You ever heard the whole story? What happened?
No,
I don't even know who that is.
So, he was a famous comedian from like the 50s, yeah, I want to say, 60s.
He had the biggest kid show ever. Like it was the number one kid show on, he was a comedian. It was like a great gig for him, right? And he told the kids one day, it was like, there was like three channels back then. So he had like one show and he told the kids, hey kids, when your parents are sleeping tonight, they're not looking, send a dollar to Uncle Soupy, right? Which at the time was like $50, you know? And then he put his address. That was like a joke. But all these kids sent the fucking send money.
That's awesome.
No, he got fired the next day. That was like the end of his career.
Luckily, he probably made enough. He never had to work again.
I think they had to give back the money. I think he said it. Hell yeah, kids, send a dollar to Uncle Soupy.
If they send it anywhere in New York, that money never made it anyway.
Dude, I actually met him. I used to work at this place called Joe Franklin's, who was like, it's like
oh, yeah.
He was this old school radio guy, like very famous back in New York. And Soupy Sale, we had a big opening and he came and he was on stage. The guy must have been like 90 years old, but he was telling, he had a joke to tell. And he goes, his joke was, I went to the bank and asked the teller to check my balance and he tipped me over.
Classic Soupy Sale.
I thought it was a great joke. Like, I was like, that's a great clean fuck. I love jokes like that. Like that, like basically, you know.
Well, it's a nice short form, quick punch joke. It's very much real wordplay. It's very much right up your alley.
Yeah, no, I was laughing. It killed. It fucking killed. You know,
it would have done great on Twitter.
Yeah, it's like when I do. People always ask me, like, you know, whenever I do a cruise ship, you got to do G rated shows. Like, what kind of jokes do you tell? I'm like, well, I do a lot of family stuff. And if I tell one-liners, the joke's like, I used to race horses. I always lost. Horses are fast.
You know, like, yeah.
Jokes like that. Anyway, Michael Chiesa and Sean Brady.
Good man, fight.
It was a good fight. You know, this is one of those things, Sean, where like, all right, so Brady won the first two rounds close. Chiesa won the third round big. If it was a pride rules, like Chiesa would have won. Because if it was, you know, Chiesa did more damage. In a five-round fight, I give it to Chiesa because I think he had the momentum. But he just got started too late. And also it was weird. Like, he was having, like, too much fun in there. Like, he had lost the first two rounds, and then he gave the guy five after the round was over. Or he, like, hit him in the butt. Like, hey, good round. And I'm like, that was just a little strange. Like, is that how you ever fought? Like, do you ever lose a round and, like, say good job to the guy?
No, I was a real sore loser, so I can't imagine doing that. It's I've often wondered, man, how the UFC judging would go if they didn't do it by the round, if they just scored the overall fight, like if somebody that watched it, like a judge that really knew fighting.
Right, it would definitely be influenced by the later rounds on the first.
That's the problem I thought about, is that if it's the third round and the guy's winning, you're going to think, well, he won the fight, because at the end would count for more to people. But it just I don't know, man. I guess that's the way it is in the streets. Whoever wins at the end is who's actually won the fight. So I don't know. Not that we need to go by the streets, but
right.
We need to see what the trifecta rule is. So.
Yeah, no, I like the way that they do it, but I think there is something where, like, you're right. In, like, a real fight, you would have given it to Chiesa.
Didn't one judge give all three rounds to Brady? I thought one
Really? No, there was
30-27.
That was another fight. That was the Yanez versus Grant fight. That fight was this guy Yanez. Man, it used to be 125-pound guys who were like not hard to watch, but there was almost never finishes. There's this crop of like Mexican 125-pounders that have fucking power. They're just knocking people the fuck out, and it's making people look really excited. The whole division is like actually a lot more exciting now.
What'll happen when your whole division's looking at getting wiped out if you don't start making it exciting. You know, they were getting ready to shut the whole thing down, man.
Yeah. So Yanez fought Grant, and Yanez won the fight, but one guy had it 30-27 for Grant. Like, lost every round. Even though it was strange. What's up, people? It is Thanksgiving, and we all know what that means. Football. And nothing goes better with football than turkey and betting. BetOnline has you covered all holiday season. More props, odds, and lines than ever before. Okay? BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this Thanksgiving. You got to head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus with promo code CLNS50 to receive your bonus. It's not just football, okay? BetOnline has pro and college hoops. They got NHL, they got boxing, UFC, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. BetOnline, we're stuffed with deals this Thanksgiving. All right, let's get back to the podcast. You know who I felt bad for was Joanna Calderwood. But this girl, Talia Santos, needs to get a title shot next.
Yeah, she's dangerous. She is something else.
I want to see her versus Shevchenko. I mean, there's no one else right now.
Who else did she – didn't she just beat somebody like 2 weeks ago?
No, that was this girl, Loopy. Loopy Gonzalez.
That was last week.
All matches the same to Greg.
Don't you see exactly? You're trying to put that on me. Don't you put that on me. No, when was – she fought pretty recently, I feel like.
Roxanne Modafari a couple months ago.
I don't know. I guess I thought we saw it.
Yeah, this girl, like, because Calder was a good fighter, but it wasn't very competitive. This girl just fucking.
Now, Joanne Wood, we definitely just saw a few weeks ago, didn't we?
No.
Were we just talking about her? You know what? I'm old.
It's all good. I'll tell you what was crazy. So
I would like to say this, wait a minute, really quickly. That Vieira Tate fight was a very good fight night, five-rounder champion. I was very proud of those girls. They really got in there and scrapped hard. I was like, okay, I can't say it was a great headlining fight.
Okay, yeah, it was. I thought it was good. I actually thought maybe you had more of a point.
I just want to say it because I'm always like, what the fuck is it? This isn't a headline, you know, but it was a good one. I just wanted to say that. I felt like it was important to note.
Now, Cody Durden, right? I want to hear your maybe I don't want to hear your opinion on this, but so Cody Durden, he won his fight. It was a close fight against a Mongolian fighter from Mongolia,
Aqualung,
who trains out of China, right? So Cody won the fight. It was a close fight. It was a good fight. Yeah. And afterwards, they interview him. And I like Cody. Cody's a buddy of mine. But afterwards, he gets on the mic and he goes, yeah, you know, I work really hard and I had to send them back to China, right? So the whole fucking Twitter erupted. Like, that's racist. That's bullshit, blah, blah. Other people were like, well, it's not race. And if the, and if you would have said, I'll send them back to Finland, and the guy was from Finland, would you guys care? And then they go, well, it's a whole – and then Cody comes out and says, look, I'm not racist, but the guy wouldn't shake my hand afterwards before the fight, yada, yada. So then they go back and they find all these tweets by Cody and where he's using the N-word but with an A, you know, like he's right. saying A. But they're going back to like 2011, 2012. I mean
– back when that was acceptable.
It wasn't acceptable then, but
I mean, it wasn't just acceptable. It was the only way to get followers.
So now that people are going back and they're like, I mean, look, I know Cody. I don't think the dude's racist. I think he might have been young and stupid and said some stupid shit and then didn't realize that one day he was going to be in the UFC and that this is going to be a temperament, yada, yada, yada. I don't think he should get fired. And in the China thing, It was something that I would have said if I would have won? No. But I don't think it was the worst thing I've ever heard. But people fucking erupted. They're like, there's no place for this and that. Greg, what
if
do you
think? If he wanted to avoid that, he really just should have said, I'd send that Mongoloid back to China because then they would have been worried about Mongoloid. But those are people from Mongolia, right?
No, you don't call them Mongoloid. I was in Mongolia. They do not want to be called Mongoloids. That's like that's a real bad term for them.
All right, 12:38.
That's weird. I think here people like to call it.
Snip at 12:38.
No snips this one.
Did you guys catch my joke earlier where I said he also said China with an A on the end? I don't know. I thought that was good and unrecognized.
That was a good fight. Greg, what are your thoughts?
It's better than saying China. You do not say China. Send it back to China. See,
then
you
just sound Italian.
China.
You say China, you sound Italian.
Hey, send him back to China or something.
Greg, what do you think about this?
Is it racist? I mean, I do feel this way that we have gotten we're so beyond the pale of calling everything racist. He was making a joke, send him back to, which is, I'm assuming he is a Chinese fighter. I thought he was. It'd be one thing if he was just saying that and he was actually from Singapore or something. But I think he is a Chinese fighter. I mean, and like you said, if he said, send him back to Sweden, would anybody lose their mind? No. Send him back to Holland. So I think it's just people have gotten, they're just so eager to racist. And it's like, okay, calm the fuck down, everybody. Jeez, this isn't. Again, he didn't, you know, call him the the derogatory term. He said he sent him back to China. He sent him home. He sent him, basically, he said, I sent him packing. Only he was specific about to the, I don't know. To me, I think everyone needs to calm the fuck down.
I agree. Sean?
I don't know, man. I just love people that don't know the difference between race, nationality, and religion. Like, they think Muslim is a race. Like, that's racist if you say something about Muslims. Or if you say, like, I said something about French people one time, and somebody said that's racist. I was like, really? I thought there were black, white, Asian, French people. Like, I could be wrong. But the fact that people don't know, like, Mexican is not a race. You know what I mean? Like, Chinese is not a race. Like, that is a nationality. Like, it just – I think people just want something to whine about, man. Like, this whole world is insane. The whole not to get on the Rittenhouse thing, but it cracks me up that's racist, like, or whatever, that he killed two white people. I'm just, whether you think he should have or not, it's not racist. Like, it's just
one
weird.
One guy was yelling the N-word the whole time.
That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like, the child rapist was yelling the N-word, and then he's lucky he didn't get his ass whipped by the Black Lives Matter people that were there. So
Yeah. Now, the thing is that... what?
But the murder is still bad, though, right? We still are against murder. We are, as a group,
I am against murder, but my opinion, he shouldn't have been there to, like, protect. Like, the mob shouldn't have dropped him off. You don't drop off a 17-year-old kid with a gun at a rally. Like, that's not really great parenting, in my opinion, right? At the same time, but when he got there, the one guy did attack him, and that guy was, and then if you're going to, not that, murder's okay, but the guy did rape 5 kids and was an awful human being. And it just, that dude did go for the gun, right? And the other guy was beating him with a skateboard. It did seem like it was self-defense. The whole thing was bad.
You have to take out the fact of whether he should have been there or not. If someone, the guy that got his bicep shot, he was pointing a gun at him. You deserve to be shot. Like, and he's a multiple-time felon. He shouldn't have been there either. The guy hit him with a skateboard. If somebody starts hitting me over the skateboard, they're getting shot too. And as far as the other one, I never saw the footage of the guy, but the fact that he's a child rapist kind of makes me not really care what he was doing. If he got shot, so be it. But I just don't understand why race got brought into any of it. I may not know, is that a Black Lives Matter thing, but I don't think if he'd have shot black people, a Black Lives Matter thing, I could see, like, man, that's going to be really tough to defend. But it isn't like he went on a shooting spree just to attack white people because he's racist. So,
Greg?
I think we should just keep race out of everything.
I was going to say, my point was, I'm not cool with murder. But back to fighting. And the fight, I think we're just so...
Well, also,
like, touchy about everything. And the other thing is, everyone acts like they're so blameless, like they live perfect lives. And I've met, like, come on. Everybody just go back home and chill the fuck out.
Also, like, if a Chinese person said, I had to send him back to America, I wouldn't care at all. I probably like the person better. I'd probably laugh.
Yeah, I had to send him back to Des Moines. I mean, again, I think he made a geographical statement. I don't think it was intended as, you know, of course, then there's the 2011 tweet.
No, but then they found a bunch of Chinese, they found a bunch of ridiculous tweets about him. Like, I think he said, like, if a Chinese woman pregnant, man, I feel like a Goku's going to come out. I mean, there were these stupid Chinese jokes that were just like... I mean, this is ridiculous. The whole thing is, I don't know. I think Cody's a good dude. Personally, I know him, and I don't think he was trying to start a fucking culture war. All right. Now, that being said, Diaz, all right.
So are we canceled yet? What time is it?
You can't cancel.
What time do we get canceled? 12?
We have to get more popular for us to get canceled. All right. So okay. Diaz thinks that, by the way.
Don't
so,
I know it?
All right, he's. So I know McCorkle's been trying real hard for 3 years.
So, all right, Nate Diaz, this ain't Jake Paul. You get smoked in a real fight, though. You can't really fight boxing matches with wrestlers only. Let that sink in, right? And then Askren says, and then Jake Paul said, I own the entire city of Stockton. And then.
He did buy it for $17, though. I was going to say,
anyone with $35 and a decent credit score can own all of Stockton, okay? Not an achievement, buddy.
And then Ben Askren, yeah. And then, so Askren, I don't know, Askren versus Nate Diaz, sign me up. I'd watch that in a heartbeat. I don't think Dana would be into it. I think Dana's really pissed about Ben losing in 1 minute. I think he thinks the fight was fixed, too. It seemed like that, but
yes, because they're all fixed. So stupid. It's wrestling. It's wrestling with boxing gloves.
So I'm dying to know if that no knockout clause is a real thing, man. I would love to know that.
Misha Tate says 16 months ago I was birthing my second child. So that's why. So she's okay with losing. All right.
Like, can we just talk about Luke Boonmi versus Loopy? That was just a battle of deliciously good names.
Yeah.
I can't help but think if you were in an abusive relationship and doing heroin 16 months ago instead of starting a family, how different that fight could have been. I don't know.
All right. Upcoming fights. This week in one championship, my friend, the monkey god, Jared Brooks is fighting. He's a guy who's 16-2, totally overlooked, got kind of fucked by the UFC. I don't know why he got cut. He's fighting Lito Adiwong. It's going to be in one championship. So that's going to be this Thursday, that fight, maybe Friday.
He fought in my when I did the pillow fights with the girls. He wasn't pillow fighting, but that was one of his early MMA fights. I didn't know who he was. He went out and whipped some dude's ass real quick, but he's like one of the smallest guys I've ever seen. They didn't like it because during the fight, him and the guy were clinched up on the fence, and I yelled out, "Stand him up," which I thought was funny. But they were really little. But no, he can really fight. So afterwards, I think I can really fight. They're like, "Yeah, he's like a superstar. I don't know, like Olympic caliber wrestler or something." Yeah. At 78 pounds. So
yeah, he was like, he's the guy who's like 180-2 in high school. He's just one of those dudes that like, he's like the me of comedy. When he finally makes it, be like, where the fuck has that guy been? Or Greg Wilson. Like, we've been around. We've been killing for fucking years. Everyone that knows, okay? But because we're not on certain podcasts and yada, yada, yada. But what eventually, the shit happens, right? The shit happens, and people are like, holy shit, this is amazing. Overnight success. Yeah, okay. Overnight success. Like Jim Carrey.
Then you got to be like Rodney Dangerfield, be real bitter about making it later in life the rest of your life.
Dude, Dangerfield.
Oh, not just Rodney. Sanford and Sons.
Lamont? Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
No.
That was his son's name.
Yeah, that was the
Red
the
Fox.
Oh, he was very bitter about his late success.
Yeah, but Dangerfield, though, helped out so many comics, you know, more than anybody. All those young comedian specials, they were amazing.
Yeah.
They were amazing. I heard
well, he broke. I mean, think about all the comics he broke on that. He broke Jerry Seinfeld, Sam Kinison, and Roseanne Barr, all on the same special.
And Dice, and Dennis Miller.
And Dice, exactly.
And what's his name? Bill Maher, all those guys. Dude, he actually one time, they said he would show up to meetings, like pitch meetings and stuff, wearing a robe with his balls hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't give a fuck.
I used to know a guy who was a writer for him for many years. And one time his mom, who was a big fan, came to the show and she's like, oh, do you want to meet him? She's like, sure. And they go to the dressing room, opens the door. He opens the door in a robe with a joint hanging out, lit up. And it's like, just standing there naked with the robe over, like, hey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, yeah, come on, come on, come on. He's like, Roddy, can you close the robe?
I heard a story about him. Frazier told me a story about him, how, you know, up until he was like 90 or 90, he was still doing open mics at the Laugh Factory to try out jokes, right? And he would go there and he was like, could barely make it to the stage, and like it was, people had to assist him. He could barely get through a joke, right? Then he was headlining in Vegas that week. So Frazier was like,
sounds like Brendan Schaub. I'm kidding. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You beat me to it. I was working on it.
That is not what I do. I'm sorry. I was waiting for you to do it. I'm like, where are you? I look and you're reading some shit. I know. I look and you're reading. I'm like, what is he looking at? And the softball is in the air. Okay, sorry.
So Frazier said he went to go see him in Vegas that week. He's like, okay, this is going to be a disaster. The guy can barely move. They announce his name. He comes out there in a tuxedo like, hey, let me tell you. Fucking didn't miss a beat. Like, it was
– he was saving all the energy for when it counted.
He just – when it was go time, it was go time. It was like, you know, I heard –
what a pro.
I heard there's a new documentary about that with Lady Gaga and Tony Bennett. Same thing. Tony Bennett, like, can't remember her name.
Oh, my God, yes.
But then when it's go time, it's go time.
Did you guys ever hear the Norm Macdonald story about Rodney Dangerfield where he said that he was mad he was on Saturday Night Live and he had to rehearse? He said, I don't want to come to rehearse. I know my jokes. You know, I don't know. I don't come to dress rehearsal. Norm's like, well, I don't know. You just have to. And so he's like telling Norm, he's like, man, I'll tell you what. He goes, TV is always just this waiting around shit, man. You're always waiting around. You do movies. It's just shit. You know, you're always waiting around. It's just bullshit. He's like, remember I said this, man, stand up. That's what it's all about, stand up. And then he waited a couple of minutes, told Norm Macdonald, stand up is shit. He tells it much better than I do, but it's a great story.
No, you're absolutely right, 100%. I mean, Rodney was he was one of my favorites, though. He was going door-to-door, a salesman.
Like, yeah.
Like, while he was on The Tonight Show. Like, it was like someone was like, hey, you're the guy from TV. The funny thing about that is I read in, like, Steve Martin's book, he said, you know, the myth was, like, everyone always says, you know, once you got on Johnny Carson, your career was made. You did Carson, it was it. And he's like, that was a complete myth. He did Carson 14 times, right?
Yeah.
He did the 14th time, somebody came up to him at, like, the bank. An old lady was like, finally got recognized. She goes, you were that guy on TV last night. And he goes, yeah. She goes, yuck, and walked away.
That's amazing.
So, Bellator. December 3rd, I believe it is. It's Sergio Pettis. There's a guy who's awesome. He's under the radar. He's fighting Haraguchi, who is amazing. I mean, Haraguchi is a guy that, like, was their champion. I think he was the ONE champion or the Ryzen champion. He was in the UFC. He didn't get the props he did, but he's really good. Jeremy Kennedy is fighting Emmanuel Sanchez, another good fight. Johnny Eblen, who's 9-0, is very underrated fighter out of ATT. He's there. Kyle Crutchmer, who's a four-time All-American wrestler, is fighting Oliver Enkamp. You know, that's on the undercard. I don't know why they put these guys on the undercard. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to say it, but, like, they have
– well, if it makes you feel any better, they're not going to get seen on the main card either. So it doesn't really matter where they're at.
December 4th, we got Fott versus Aldo. I don't know, man. Aldo's looking better with age. What's going on? How is this happening?
I think he's even older than he claims he is, which is crazy because back in the day when they said he was 29, there were a lot of rumors he was really 35.
Yeah.
That he had lied about his age or something. And now he's got – I don't know what he says he is now, but he looks 50. So not when he fights, but just in general. It's a really weird thing to see somebody peak when they get old, man. It's a strange the older they – I don't know. It's strange.
Now, people saying that since COVID happened, USADA's not making the same type of impromptu visits. He lives in Brazil. They're known for their good stuff. I mean, obviously, yeah. I don't want to make allegations here, but do you think there's something to that?
I think since USADA started canceling UFC fights that they've had it taken easier. I don't think it was COVID. I think the UFC finally realized that it's ridiculous to have USADA testing when no other pro sport does it. Like, if you had USADA testing in the NFL, you wouldn't even be able to field a team, man, like each week. Like, it's I think the UFC has backed off of it a lot because they're paying USADA. It isn't like they're the Olympics and USADA's brought in independently or whatever. Like, they're paying them to do what they want. But I know at the beginning, it was somebody told me, I think Nick or Nate Diaz told me he got checked 7 times in the same day one time, like 7 separate times.
Like,
came to his gym and he had to pee like 7 separate or like 6 separate pees and 1 blood test all the same day. Like in Stockton or whatever, he's like, dude, this is – I'm not living my life like this. You know what I mean? Like every
– Diaz, when I was at Fox Sports, they said they all were not happy with Nick Diaz. I go, why? Yeah. They're like, they had to go film like the countdown special in Stockton. So they get there and he's not there. So like at the gym the whole day, right? I thought, then like, he'll be at 11. He'll be at 1. Then Nate walks in. Like, hey, Nate, you know where Nick is? I don't know. So his brother, he's like, can you call? He's like, no. This happened for 3 days in a row. Then they went home. They're like, fuck
them dudes. Them dudes do not care, man. Like, they don't. It's legit. It's not an act. They don't give a shit.
Yeah. No. I every year I'm like, Nate, want to do a. This is like the text we had. This is me and Nate Diaz text. I go, hey Nate. This is it. Hey man, you want to do a? I'm writing the sketches for the awards this year. By the way, we did one. We shot one yesterday. Went really well. Another one Friday. I would love to have you. He goes, as long as I'm the most boss pimp out of everyone, all the fighters are fucking all the other fighters are some bitches except for my team.
That's on brand. That seems right.
Dude, one year, I'm like, hey Nate, you wanna present an award? He goes, fuck yeah, I wanna win one too. He wasn't nominated. He hadn't fought in like 3 years, right? So then I was like, can we give Nate an award? Like, we had fun in 3 years. I go, but don't you think he should get some? I was like, trying to get him to get some award.
They're creating championship belts for Nate, like the BMF awards, MMA awards. Like, it's just everything for him is awesome. He's a great guy, though, man. Him and Nick are the two nicest guys I've ever met in MMA, man. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Nate is the kind of guy. Nate's the kind of dude that, like, they don't get. I think that's. They're as real as they get, and I think if they like you, you're like their friend, you know.
Yeah.
And if they don't like you, they'll fight you like on spot. Like, they don't give.
Well, Adam, was it you that told me that story about him that Nick got proposed something by a sponsor? I think told me.
That Lazy told me the story on the podcast a long time ago. How Nick's like, yo, Lazy, I need some money. Hook me up with a sponsor. So he goes and gets this like they get a meeting and there's like 20 like executives. And it was back with like one of those like Boz Rutten, like the things where you punch everything.
Yeah.
Oh, he had those like Boz Rutten fight things. So they spent like 30 minutes doing like a PowerPoint presentation and this and that, and how much money they're going to make. And Nick's just sitting there looking at it. And they go, what do you think? And he's like, that is the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my entire life. He goes, honestly, people would only buy that because they fucking hate me. He goes, go talk to Jake Shields. He'll fucking do some dumb shit like this. And Jake's like his best friend. He's like, yeah, dude, he doesn't give a shit.
I'll tell you an awesome Jake Shields story. I have met or hung out with Jake Shields 15 separate times, and 15 out of 15, he did not recognize me. Each time he'd introduce himself, I'd be like, Jake, we've hung out like five times, man. Like Sean McCoy was like, oh, yeah, man, my bad. And yeah. After a while, I thought it was
that, and as a specimen, you're highly recognizable.
You would, that's what you would think. Like, it was like when I was in the UFC, you would think like you would, like, I'm more easy to remember than he would be because he's an average sized guy, you know? So I kept thinking, like, but I would see him in Las Vegas, like, I'd be there to watch the fights or whatever. And somebody would say, it's Jake. I said, oh, I know Jake. He's like, hey, Jake Shields, like, shake my hand or whatever. I'm like, dude, we hung out last month for 2 hours at the Affliction party. Like, it's like, it was strange, a strange thing, man. I don't know.
Dude, there's a lot of fighters that, like, are super, I guess they call them red-pilled, you know? Like, they're just huge Republicans, yeah. Which, like I said, I'm in the middle, you know? I'm not, like, I try to go, like, you know, whatever, whatever. But it's the funniest, a lot of people, like, so Jake is, like, super, like, fighting with liberals all day long. He lives in San Francisco, which is a fucking right now.
It's, yeah, that's where you want to be.
Yeah, I was going to say, really settle in there with your people.
But I got to say, Donald Trump Jr. on Instagram is the biggest troll. Do you ever follow his posts?
No.
I'm permanently banned on Twitter, so I don't see it, but I've heard.
Donald Trump Jr. writes, like, whoever voted for Biden owes me gas money, right? That's like his – then he goes – and then he's
really hurt. Does he even know how much gas actually costs? Like, when was the last time he actually fueled up a vehicle?
Then he posted.
Do you see a lot of pictures out there of him at the Chevron filling up the tank? Like, come on. Dude,
then he posts a picture of Trump giving Rittenhouse the Medal of Honor.
Wait, Trump Jr. did that?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And then he goes, then he has one guy going, like the two guys that he killed, one guy goes, I rape boys. The other guy goes, I strangle women. And he goes, we're Democrat heroes. dude. And then for some reason, Kodak Black says, you know, the rapper, he says, like, yeah. Bring Trump back. So he like, puts Trump in a Kodak Black, like, with the hair. Like, dude, he's, and then he has Kyle Rittenhouse giving Biden a prostate exam on one of them.
Like,
Greg,
pull
the
old Misha Tate.
Greg, you got to. Dude, then he has Kyle Rittenhouse like cleaning up LeBron James's tears.
This, yeah, like, I saw that.
Dude, I mean, Greg, you got to admit he's a fucking troll and like a half. And then he writes, like,
I can admit that. Yes.
And then he goes. And he writes, is it true that you fucked around and found out the guy that lost one arm? He goes, that is correct.
Stupid. Did you guys see LeBron James punch that guy in the face the other night? Split his eye open?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did see that. That he threw like a – well, it looked like it was supposed to be an elbow, but then caught him with his hand, it looked like.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Missed. I put a – on my Instagram, it's great. I put a video. I edited in the Maury Povich audio, like where they say you're not the father, as the guy's running away, trying to get away from the people. You'd have to see it to understand, but it's very funny.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you lost 10 grand on that eye gouge.
No, problem. Yeah, no. Yeah, if I'm betting on Maury Povich, it's going to be a problem.
Dude, then he goes liberals on their way to get the 7th booster shot, and it's like a fat woman, like, on a scooter. So anyway, the fighters that like him, because they are Thiago Alves, like, it's a lot of Marion Renault. It's a lot of fighters that, like, love him that are, you know, obviously, like, Tito Ortiz. But it's people that you wouldn't expect. I didn't expect Marion Renault to be a huge Republican, but it's crazy. I mean,
where's he from?
What was that? She's from.
Where's he from?
She's from Belize.
You said Mario something.
Yeah, Christos.
No, that's me.
Christos.
Yeah, I'm Mario.
Christos. Yeah, a lot of Brazilians like him, which is like.
Yeah, Brazilians are real anti. Socialist. So
yeah, that's why. Yeah. This podcast
can started. We just get back to Adam Hunter accusing Jose Aldo of juicing? Can we just get back to that?
Sorry.
What are we fucking talking about?
Why are you banned from Instagram?
Sorry. No, I'm banned from Twitter. Permanently, because they warned me I wouldn't listen to him, and then I found this lady that would say really racist stuff, or like this black lady saying really racist stuff about white people. So I would just change the words white and black in everything she said and then screenshot what she said, like quote it, and then post mine under it. And then they would suspend me, but not her. So basically, I was like the reverse Martin Luther King Jr. trying to, like, end racism.
That is exactly how I would describe that.
Right.
That is in no way an exaggeration of your plight. Yes, yes. What you've endured at the hands of the Twitter sphere. Oh, how you doing, Sean? How you doing? What an episode.
All right.
We really did it, guys. What an episode.
We got Clay Guida is fighting Leonardo Santos. I don't know how
what
old.
What year?
They're fighting December 4th.
Can I tell you, I like Clay Guida. I've always liked Clay Guida. It's just like, I like Clay Guida when Clay Guida belonged as a UFC fighter. I mean, I just think he's, I don't know. But although it's not like he's terrible. It's not like he's, you know, lost it. He's just, you know, of advanced age for a fighter.
If you like Clay, you should meet his brother Jason. He's even more like.
Well, Clay has a business where you can go hunting with him and Chad Mendes.
What are you hunting? I don't like any of this.
All right. So also Matt Brown is fighting Brian Barberena. This should be a good fight.
Both that was a good fight.
Fucking scrap. Cheyenne Buys, she's the girl that beat up her entire high school. There was like a bunch of bullies picking on her. So she went in and like beat up like seven. It was like a karate fight. Beat up six girls. And then she got suspended for that.
So it was like a school shooting, but hand-to-hand combat.
So it was like Cobra Kai season two finale. Okay.
It was, except one person. Alonzo Menifield. My boy Alonzo.
Which lineup are we looking at? I don't even know what you're talking about here.
December 4th at the
U. Oh, the Oliveira Poirier? No, no.
Yeah. No, the week before that.
Oh, okay, the Aldo card.
Yeah. Alonzo.
I'm not seeing any of these fights on the card.
It's an MMA Junkie.
Okay, I think they're wrong again, bro. I'm not seeing it. First of all, in the UFC fight, the prelims is down to two fights.
I guarantee, trust me, Alonzo's fighting William Knight, who's another, like, knockout artist. Huge black dude, just fucking jacked. So is Alonzo. That should be a good fight. Mickey Gall is fighting Alex Moreno.
Mickey Gall! He's back! I love it.
Louis Smoka, I like. His wife's a battle rapper.
Really? He didn't have enough fighting in his life?
He's fighting Vince Morales. And then Jake Matthews, who was like, when he was like 17 years old from Australia. He's fighting Jeremiah Wells. This is like actually a good card. Jimmy Crute is fighting Jamahal Hill. Jamahal Hill is like, that guy's really good. His nickname is Sweet Dreams. And he just knocks people out, most of them. He lost to Paul Craig. But Sweet Dreams. All right. And then finally, quick predictions. Oliveira versus Poirier, December 11th. Who wins this fight?
I'm going Poirier.
Yeah, I think
I'm going to go with Greg because I'm always wrong. So, yeah, I'll go Poirier too.
All right. Amanda Nunes. I'm going Poirier on this one. I think he's just on a different level right now. Amanda Nunes versus Pena.
I think Nunes easily.
I think so, too. I hate to say that, but I just don't – I don't see anybody even on her level, like, even a little bit. I think it's just, Nunes all day.
Pena all day. Yes.
Interesting. Okay, I was going to say – I mean, I like Pena. I feel like I'm afraid that my like of Pena, it would be the only reason I would pick her. You know, I don't think she really – again, like McCorkle said, I don't think there's – I think it's Nunes. Easily.
I'm going to overlook Pena. Pena's going to come in and just steamroll her. And shock the world. She's got to be like a 20-1, right?
Now yeah, you're enticing. Don't. I was gonna say. Now you're enticing him. He's gonna go. That's it. He's gonna put
if
money
on. If you want
Pena
to win, I'll just bet on Nunes. And you guys got it. So.
Please. All right.
Put the house on.
So, Greg, what do we have coming up?
This Wednesday night, which is probably on Wednesday. This come out on Wednesday or Tuesday. It depends. But Wednesday night, if you're still in Los Angeles, you want to have a good time. I'll be doing the Supernova. Comedy show in Hollywood, so you could just Google Supernova, you'll find them. in Hollywood. That's going to be a lot of fun. Then I will be at the Dirty 1230 in December. I want to say December 10th. Let me look at this. December. December 10th. I'll be hanging out there in December. And then New Year's Eve, I'll be at the Comic Strip in El Paso for New Year's Eve.
I will be in Las Vegas December 6th to the 12th at the Strat. December 6th to 12th at Strat. So come see me there. Go to AdamHunterComedy.com to see my whole schedule. And Adam Comedian. Sean, what do you got coming up?
I will be at home because I'm not vaccinated and won't get. So my whole schedule's online too. It's just me at home. So.
That is hot.
I think we're going to have outlawed fun in California yet. I thought that would be next. Like Greg said, you're going to have fun there. I don't know if that's allowed anymore in California.
It's pretty much everything.
It's only allowed in secret.
Greg, what if
you guys hate Gavin Newsom, right? Like even Democrats hate that Gavin Newsom out there, right? Or am I wrong?
He's got to do something better. I mean, this is crazy. It's madness. But I don't know, man. I think we give politicians.
I don't love him. You know, I'm not like a big Gavin Newsom fan. So, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
He did some stupid douchey shit. There's no defending it.
There's got to be something with the homeless people, though. Literally, I went, you know, I went.
Yeah, no, the homeless situation is out of control. Really, I mean,
and like literally, there was a guy sleeping in front of my house.
Yeah,
and, you know, I'm like, we just bought a house. We live in a nice area.
One time, I was in New York, and there was a woman asking for change outside of a subway station, and she had her kids with her. Like, there was a baby and like two younger ones, and it was like, you know, like 20 degrees out, and I said, how much do I have to give you right now to please take these children inside? And she said $100. So I gave her $100, and she took the kids and she went inside, and then I went to where I was going, and then on the way back she was just right back out there on the fucking street. And I was like, god damn it, I want my $100 back, but I do want you to spend it on the kids. But Jesus Christ.
Greg, if you're coming to dine tonight, let me know.
I want to be there. I'll be there. I'm coming by tonight. I'll definitely come by.
All right.
So catch me at the dime tonight with a good friend of mine, Adam Hunter.
Yes.
And if you're in town, good times will be had right there on Fairfax.
All right. Take care, guys. You guys are the best.
See ya.